This reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be applauded by people. Truly I tell you, they have their rewards. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly I tell you, they have their rewards. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him.
This. Understand it and now apply it to our lives. Lord Jesus, may we see you as we hear your words of teaching. Holy Spirit, would you come and guard our hearts from distraction and our lives from destruction and lead us instead to be like the Lord Jesus. Amen. We've seen a lot in the press recently of the public face of one person or another not matching at all their private life. I don't think it really matters what part of the press you follow. If you're a sports person, you will find sports people who have been held up as great role models, and we all hope our kids will be diligent like them in training and excellent in them in their action. And then we find that their behavior on a Friday night at a club or a pub or is less than savory, to say the least. I don't know what you call it, celebrity life, shall we say. It's perhaps a little bit more obvious as we see the things that we might call righteousness, that we might understand as good, being just blatantly trampled on, and game shows to marry people together and things like this seem very odd to put a private life, which that lifelong relationship between two people cannot be built on winning a game show. In the public eye, where you're playing every week a different game to try and win people's votes, how can you possibly say at the same time to the person you want to be partner with the truth when you're playing a game to show others something in particular? Politics is the same. I mean, the press has been full this week of one and another person whose secrets have come out. The difference between the public and the private life at times seems huge. And the challenge of Scripture is to make that difference as little as possible. As little as possible. That's the Lord Jesus teaching here in this part of the Sermon on the Mount. As we look tonight, the Lord Jesus is teaching the wider group of his early followers, and he's explaining what the member of the kingdom of heaven looks like to the world. And what you look like to the world is what you are before the Lord. Your public life and your private life should be the same. These subjects he covers, the two key subjects of giving and prayer, had, as we've seen with much of the interpretation of the law in the previous chapter, become very enshrined by the way of life, the religious observance of the day. And the public life was very ordered for you. And sadly, the ordering of public life had really missed the point. That's what's happened here in this as well. So the Lord Jesus starts to set the record straight. And I need to warn you that his teaching is very plain. If it feels like I'm pressing buttons tonight and saying things bluntly, forgive me. I am only saying what it is in the scriptures here. And if you, as you begin to get to grips with the original languages, I only feel the force more and more of the plainness of the Lord's teaching. So forewarned is forearmed. We go on and we will find three pairs, as we work our way through. The first thing we observe about the member of the kingdom of heaven, as the Lord Jesus understands them, is he says this simply, believer, give. If you are one who believes in me, you will be one who gives. There's no opt-out, no, it's all right for me not to. That's just not present at all. The simple truth is the believer gives. Let us face the truth about the one who is addressing us. He gave up everything that we might live. So it's not a surprise, really, when we hear him say, give. Because he is only telling us to do what he has already done for us in coming down, in the incarnation that we celebrate at Christmas. He limited himself. He took on humanity. He didn't give anything up. He still limited himself and took on. He gave up, if you like, being in heaven. He stopped being in heaven to come here. But worse than that, more than that, in monetary terms, as a human being, having built what one presumes is a very successful carpentry business, taking after his father, he gave it up. We know nothing of that. I'm speculating, I freely admit. But whatever it was that he was doing to lead a life, when the call came, when the time was right, he gave it up to become a nomadic teacher that we might have this gospel. And I still haven't reached what most of you, I think, know already, because he came to the end of that ministry and then went to the cross and took our sin on his shoulders and gave up his life for us. And a giving God's followers will be a people who give. The giving of alms in those days was assumed, and that, I think, equates to our taxation system. So we're not talking here about paying your taxes. The good Jew living for 30 days in any town became liable for the soup kitchen, and someone would have knocked on your door, hey, you've been around a month, let's have your contribution, please. It would be expected and understood, a basic taxation system. After 3 months, the charity box would also come knocking on the door. The soup kitchen was basically what a soup kitchen is today. It would feed the down and out. The charity box was slightly different. The one who ran on hard times would appeal to the synagogue or the leaders of the town and be able to take out a loan or a gift in order to set them back on their feet. And after 3 months, you would be expected, as a good Jewish man, family, to contribute to this too. And that's without the Roman taxes, which the Jews didn't like, but they would also have paid for certain things within the community. The Lord Jesus is talking about personal giving. He very definitely makes it personal. The speech is in the singular, individually singling out people, though he's addressing a crowd. It's very, you know, I can't do that in English because I can't separate between you all and you with a finger pointing at you, but it does. It's singular. The Lord Jesus, he may have caught an eye and another eye and said, you, and you, and you. He assumes that the believer is giving. There are too many excuses offered when it comes to giving. And the Lord Jesus, in making this very personal and very general, condemns all those selfish people who effectively say, I will not, even if they vocalize, I cannot. So I say to you, tithing is best learned early. And I know some of you young people tithe the money from your odd jobs and paper rounds. And I praise God for that. And I say to you, tithing is best done carefully And I know some of you who have ups and downs in the world of work and agonize over a regular gift and topping it up on good weeks. And I praise God for you. And I say tithing is not just for the rich, and I'm very grateful for the rich who bless the work here greatly. But the Lord Jesus singles out the widow who gave her mite. The two tiny coins, which each were perhaps worth 1/4 of the Roman penny, was all that she had. And yet she gave it to the Lord's work. Giving is for all those who believe. If you love the Lord and would be like him, give as he gave. If you say you believe and you do not give, then forgive me speaking bluntly, but the Lord effectively says your words and your actions are not in sync. They do not match up. Are you sure what you believe? Secondly, the Lord Jesus points us very carefully to another pitfall in the land of giving. We must avoid ostentatious giving. Do you know what the big word means? It means showy giving, making it obvious that I'm giving. So if one temptation is not to give on this hand, the other temptation over here is to make a great deal about my giving. Excuse me while I head up to the box. Oh, it's over there, is it? Well, excuse me a second, I'll be right back, and head over to the box. The lovely proverb, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, is fantastic, because there's a time and a place for your left hand to hide what your right hand is doing so that you can put it in the box without someone seeing. I like that proverb because it really makes you think. Don't let your left hand know. Don't put it behind you. Hide it. So your left hand can't see it, but use your left hand to hide what your right hand is doing. It's all there in that proverb. The whole purpose is private giving. So it's between you and God. The box is usually at the back of church when folks come in, so it's easy to do. That's how we try and do it. We don't have a plate at the front or a box or a procession as some do. But if you think we can make our giving easier, more private, better, please talk to us privately. The Lord Jesus promises a gift, a reward, if you like, for the secret giver. If we give like Jesus does in secret, what is that reward? Verse 4. I think it is a little like this. I think it is in part to understand him better. For me, the greatest picture of the Lord Jesus Christ's giving was done utterly privately in the Garden of Gethsemane. He took the three disciples with him, as he had occasionally done in his life and ministry. He'd selected the three out of the 12, and he'd selected the 12 out of the crowd. And on this occasion, they fall asleep. And his deal with the Father, his giving of himself into the Father's service, is done in utter private. In the dead of night, with the three asleep on the route to find him, if you could find him. And that night he gave it all because he sweat drops of blood for me. What is the reward? I think it is in part to understand him better, to know him more when we act like him. As we're encouraged to be like him and grow like him, I think we do get to grips with someone when we take a day in their shoes, when we live their life, when we go and meet them. And I think we learn to be like Christ as we learn to give like Christ. We understand him more. I think we have a clearer conscience because we're loving as Jesus loved. I think it is certainly a step closer to heaven on the journey of sanctification as God the Holy Spirit leads us to give like this. The Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so to our second pair of truths, equally bold in their opening as we talk about prayer, the Lord Jesus, using the same techniques, assumes that the believer prays. Now, this is not the saying of amen with the rest of church at the end of our prayers, which is always good to do. It encourages me if you say a hearty amen, assuming you, of course, agree with what I've just said. But it's not that. Neither is it joining in with grace or family prayers and discussion around your table at home, which is something I hope you do. This is secret prayer, private prayer, just you and God prayer. Just as last time, we must not delude ourselves. The first point the Lord Jesus makes is if we do, then we are declaring with our actions that we're not in a solid relationship with him. Of which relationship do you have in this world? Those who love you, be those who give and pray. And where we struggle with these things, our Father, would you stir us up if we lack desire? Would you show us the way if we lack the ability? Would you encourage us if we are cast down and finding it difficult? Help us to give privately, to pray, seeking you out face to face, we say, in secret, where you are to be found, where there is no distraction. May we understand in greater depth how you know and see all things and how we should find you in secret with the right attitude of heart. And Father, we pray that your grace would abound this evening in our lives and especially in the hearts of those who do not yet know you. Amen.